بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his wives, family and companions, and all those who follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the hadith of Humran Mawla Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, in which there was a description of the wudu. And also the hadith which is after that, the hadith of Amr ibn Yahya al-Mazini an Abi radiyallahu anhu, also regarding the description of the wudu. And in this hadith, we come to the ninth hadith, which has been narrated by Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha. An Aishata radiyallahu anha qalat, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمن في تنعله وترجله وطهوره وفي شأنه كله. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, or she said, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to prefer beginning with his right hand side when placing on his shoes and combing his hair and in purification and in all of his affairs. So this hadith, like the previous hadith, if we were going to give it a title for the chapter, then we would say حُكْمُ التَّيَمُّن فِي الْأُمُورِ, the ruling of starting with the right hand side in various matters. That is if we were going to give it a general title for this hadith or for this chapter. And this hadith has been narrated by Ummul Mu'mineen wa Ummuna Aisha radiyallahu anha. And previously we spoke about, or we gave a brief biography regarding this virtuous female companion, may Allah be pleased with her. So she is Siddiqa bintu Siddiq, the most truthful, the daughter of the most truthful, i.e. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she is Habibatu bint Habib. She is the most beloved, the daughter of the most beloved, i.e. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she was a female scholar, a scholar of hadith, a scholar of fiqh, and a teacher of many of the companions after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And she accepted Islam in the second year of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just after the battle of Badr. I mentioned previously that she narrated over 2,200 hadith, 2,210 hadith. And she passed away in the 58th year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. This hadith regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to always begin with his right hand side when he used to do certain things. Then it has been narrated or collected by both Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim and other than them. And I mentioned previously, alaykum as-salam, I mentioned previously how the methodology of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah differs from the methodology of Imam Muslim. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he might mention the same hadith with the same wording in various different places in his sahih. Whereas Imam Muslim, in most cases, he'll only mention the hadith once in a particular chapter. Or perhaps Imam Bukhari, rahimullah, he will mention some parts of a hadith under certain chapters, and other parts of the same hadith in other chapters, because of the relevance of that hadith to various chapters. So this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimullah, he mentions it in his sahih in five different places, under five different chapters. He mentions it in Kitab al-Wudu, in the book of Wudu, Bab al-Tayyammun fil Wudu wal-Ghusl, in the chapter of beginning with the right hand side in wudu and ghusl. He also mentions it in Kitab Abwab al-Masjid, in the book of the doors of the masjid, the gates of the masjid. all under his Sahih. In the chapter of At-Tayammun fi Dukhul al-Masjidi wa Ghayrihi, that a person entering into the masjid with his right foot. He also mentions it in Kitab al-At'imah, the chapter or the book of food. In the chapter of At-Tayammun fil Akli wa Ghayri, starting or eating with the right hand in when it's eating. He also mentions it in Kitab al-Libas, in the book of clothing. Under the chapter Yubda bin Na'al al-Yumna, that a person should begin with his right sandal or his right shoe. He also mentions it in another chapter in Kitab al-Libas, At-Tarjil wa-Tayammun fi, that a person combing the right side of his head before the left. So these are the five chapters that Imam Bukhari rahimullah, he mentions it. As for Imam Muslim, then he mentioned it in only one chapter, and that is in the book of Wudu. And as usual, first we will go through the hadith and translate some of the wordings of the hadith. So Ummuna wa Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the benefit of the word kana is al-istimrar. And the meaning of al-istimrar is that this was a continuous action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever you find a hadith in which it is mentioned kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaf'al or yaqul, then the meaning is he used to continuously or constantly do or say. Yufid al-istimrar. And then yu'jibuhu. And the meaning of yu'jibuhu is from ajab. And ajab is to be amazed by something. Something was beloved to him and it was liked to him. What was this thing which was beloved to him? At-tayammun. And at-tayammun is from the word al-yameen. And al-yameen or al-yad al-yumna is your right hand. So al-yameen is the right side. So the meaning of tayammun here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to like and prefer the right hand side, whether it's the right hand side, whether it's the right foot in placing on shoes, or it's the right side of his head, or his right hand, his right limbs, and so on and so forth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kana yu'jibuhu at-tayammun. And the other meaning of tayammun is from al-yaman, and yaman comes from the word al-barakah, blessing. So that the meaning is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to seek blessings by beginning with his right hand side. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentions a number of affairs specifically. She says, fi tana'ulihi. And the meaning of tana'ulihi is when he was wearing the na'al. And the na'al is the sandal or the shoe or anything similar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he wanted to put on his sandals or his shoes, he used to always start with his right foot and then his left foot. وَتَرَجُّلِهِ. And the meaning of التَرَجُّل is for a person to comb his hair, whether it's the hair of the head or the beard. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he wanted to beautify himself or beautify his appearance, then he would start by combing the right side of his beard before the left. And also enters into at-tarajjul, as well as combing, oiling the hair, or washing the hair, or beautifying the hair. Anything which comes under beautifying the hair, all comes under this ruling. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to always begin with the right side of his head or his beard. وَطُهُورِهِ. And also in his tuhur. And here the ta, in the word tuhur, it has a dhamma over it. And we mentioned previously that if the word tuhur comes with a dhamma over it, tuhur, then it refers to the action of purification, the action of making wudu, the action of making ghusl, the action of cleaning oneself. And if the ta has a fatha on it, tahur, if anybody can remember, what did we say? What's the meaning of tahur? Safraz, can you remember? He wasn't here.
Something which provides the purification.
It's a utensil or a water which is used to make a tuhur.
Okay.
And also we said the same with wudu and wadu. So wudu is the action of making ablution with a dhamma over the waw. And wadu with a fatha over the waw is the pot or the utensil from which a person makes wudu. And this came in the previous hadith that Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an da'a bi wadu'in, that he called for a wadu to be brought in, i.e. utensil containing water in order to perform wudu from. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's to prefer a tayammun, the right side, in his tuhur, in his purification, whether it's the ghusl or it's the wudu or any other aspect of tahara. And then finally, after mentioning these specific things, placing on shoes and combing the hair and purification, then Aisha radiallahu anha, she makes it more general. She said, وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ, and in everything, in all of his affairs, in everything which he used to do, he used to prefer starting with the right hand side. Here, when she said, وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ, in all of his affair, then this is what's termed as being عام, i.e. this is a text which is general. It covers everything. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to begin with his right hand side. However, sometimes we have a text which is عام, which is general, then it is مخصص, it has been specified. So there are certain things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't used to do with beginning with the right hand side. So when it comes to, for example, entering the toilet or leaving the masjid, then that was done with the left hand side. And when it comes to, for example, making istinja and a person cleaning himself, then this is done with the left hand side, sorry. So even though Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّ, in all of his affairs, and this is general and it covers everything. However, there are certain exceptions or certain times when this hadith has been specified and doesn't apply. And perhaps we'll come to that in a short while. So the general meaning of this hadith is that firstly, from the virtue of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, is that she was able to inform us regarding the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his house. And this was something which was specific to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and more specifically Aisha radiallahu anha. This is from her virtue, that she was the most knowledgeable of people when it came to the customs and the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst he was in his house. As for the other companions from amongst his friends and those who were around him, then what happened outside of his house, in the battles, in the masjid, then they used to narrate. And the matters which used to take place inside the privacy of his own home, this was with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and specifically Aisha radiallahu anha. In this hadith, she mentions the custom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was beloved to him and which he used to like doing. And that is that he used to always begin with the right hand side. Anything which was good, then he used to always begin with the right side. She mentioned some specific things like placing on his shoes, combing or beautifying his hair, and purification. And then she mentions it more generally by saying, وَفِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّهِ, and in all of his affairs. So the first benefit that this hadith contains is فَضْلَ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ anha, the virtue of the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And by the way, in this compilation, Umdatul Ahkam, she has narrated 55 hadith. She narrates 55 hadith. So if next week I ask you, how many hadith did Aisha radiallahu anha narrate in Umdatul Ahkam, then it is 55 hadith. And also from the benefits of this hadith is that a person should always start with the right side in anything which is good. In fact, there is a principle that some of the ulama have mentioned, taken from this hadith. So this hadith, it has acted like a principle. And the principle that they have mentioned is istihbabul bada'ati fil yaman, is for a person to always start with the right side. في كل ما كان من باب التكريم والتزين. In everything which is from the angle of either honoring or beautifying. So anything which comes under a person beautifying himself, or anything which is good and honored and noble, or anything which comes under being an act of worship, then we always start with the right hand side, unless there is an exception. وَمَا كَانَ بِضِدِّهَا, and anything which is opposite to this, أُسْتَحُبَّ فِيهِ التَّيَاسُرُ, then a person should begin with the left side. So the general principle is, anything which is seen to be good and noble or honorable or an act of worship, then we always begin with the right side. And anything which is opposite to this, then we begin with the left side. Unless, of course, there is an exception which has been mentioned. So, apart from these two or three things which were mentioned specifically, other things like al-siwak, using the miswak, or even brushing a person's teeth. You do it with your right hand, and you start with the right side of your mouth. Also, when you're giving something to somebody, or taking something from somebody, it's given with the right hand, and taken with the right hand. When a person, for example, cuts his nails, because this is from cleanliness and purity, therefore you begin with the right hand side. Also, if a person, when you're shaking hands, you start with the person on your right, and then you go towards the others. When it comes to eating, a person eats with his right hand, he drinks with his right hand. When a person is offering food or drink, and you're in a group of people, then like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-ayman fal-ayman, from the right hand side, and then the person who is next, and the person who is next. So in all, and also when it comes to sleeping, for example, in sleeping, a person sleeps on his right hand side. When it comes to entering into the masjid and sitting behind the imam, then the most beloved place is the one which is behind the imam, the maqam, and then from the right, closest to the imam. So we see that in all of these affairs, because it comes under at-takreem wa tazyeen, either adorning or beautification, or honoring and something which is noble, a person begins with his right hand side. As for entering into the toilets, because it is mustaqdar, something which isn't seen to be good, we enter with our left foot. Leaving the masjid, because it is more noble entering the masjid, then we will leave with our left foot. Making istinja, again, because it's considered something which is unhygienic or dirty, we start with we use our left hand. So this is the general principle that the ulama have taken from this hadith. The thing which remains is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to come to combing his hair, beautifying his hair, oiling his hair, he used to begin with the right hand side. However, when it comes to shaving a person's hair, then some have mentioned that you should shave with the left hand side, and others have mentioned you should shave the right hand side. And some of the ulama, they have mentioned that it's more befitting that a person, as Safarini mentions in his sharh, that a person begins with the right hand side. Because even when it comes to shaving of the hair, especially in Hajj and days like this, then it comes under at-tazyeen wal-ibadah. It comes under a person beautifying himself, and that it is an act of worship. So even the shaving of the hair is like this. Here Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned three specific things. She mentioned at-tana'ul, placing on the shoes, and this refers to a person's feet. She mentioned at-tarajjul, which is a person combing his hair, and this relates to a head. And then she mentioned at-tuhur, the purification. And purification or tahara, this is the key to all of worship. So because she mentioned the feet and the head, and then the key of all of worship, this also shows that this hadith is general. It covers every aspect of the body. Also from the benefits of this hadith is that because this was something which was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has to be something which is also beloved to us. When we love something for the sake of Allah, then we have to love
four matters. There are four matters that a person has to love. So firstly, a person has to love Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he loves every person whom Allah loves. So we know that Allah, He loves Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We love Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We know Allah loves His messengers. We love the messengers and the prophets of Allah. A person has to love the actions which Allah loves. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves the people of At-Taqwa. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِّرِينَ. Allah loves the people of purification. Allah loved the martyrs who died in Al-Badr. So like this, we have to love every action which Allah loves. Also, we have to love the places which Allah loves, like Mecca, Medina, the Masajid. And a person has to love the times which Allah loves. So Allah loves Ramadan, Allah loves the Hijjah, and like this, we have to love those things. Similar to this, this action which was beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of starting with the right side, then this is also an action which should be beloved to us. And Al-Imam As-San'ani, rahimullah, he mentions, كُلُّ فِعْلٍ يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. That every action which Allah loves and His Messenger loves. So any hadith we find in which it says, Allah loves this and this, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love this and this, he said, فَهُوَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى مَشْرُوعِيَّتِهِ. Then this is an evidence for its legislation. So as soon as we find in the Quran or the hadith that Allah loves certain affairs, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love certain affairs, then straight away we understand that this issue is legislated, i.e. it becomes an act of worship. If we also love it, and we start with our right hand side, then this also becomes an act of worship. However, bain al-ijab wa nadab. However, between being an obligation, or between being something which is preferred or recommended. So eating with the right hand, this is an obligation. This is wajib. You have to eat with your right hand. As for example, entering into the masjid with your right foot, then this is mustahab. This is which is highly recommended, but there's no sin upon a person who doesn't enter with the right foot. And also when it comes to making wudu, starting with the right limbs, this is something which is recommended, but the ulama have agreed with ijma', with complete agreement, that whoever made wudu, beginning with his left side, the limbs on his left side, then he doesn't have to repeat his wudu. So this is something which is mustahab, something which is recommended. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love starting with the right side? Some of the ulama have mentioned that this was al-fa'al. And the meaning of al-fa'al, and it comes in a hadith, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه الفأل. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he should love الفأل. The meaning of الفأل is something close to a sense of optimism or seeing a good sign in things. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to always remain optimistic or always see a good sign in something. So for example, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was being written, and the person who came from the Quraysh was somebody who was called Sahal. And the meaning of Sahal is easy. Because his name was Sahal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took this as being a good sign, or was optimistic and said that this is something which Allah will make easy for us. And this is how a believer should be. So when it comes to bad omens or bad signs, then this enters into shirk. Like the people of Jahiliyyah used to do. If they see a crow, they say this is a bad sign. Or if they saw a woman, for example, on the road who was disabled, then they wouldn't go on that road, because this is a bad sign. And this is something which enters into a shirk. However, al-fa'al or al-tafa'ul, which means being optimistic, always seeing a good sign in something, this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prefer the right side of things as a good sign. Why? Because Ashabul Yameen, The people of the right, they are the people of Jannah. Ashabul Yameen hum ashabul Jannah. The people of the right, they are the people of Jannah. So this was seen by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a good sign, or an optimistic type of gesture that it will make people from the people of Jannah, and Allah knows best. As for the second hadith we're going to cover, then it is the hadith of Nu'aym al-Mujmir. The author said, وَعَنْ نُعَيْمَ الْمُجْمِرِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يُدْعَوْنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوءِ فَمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. وفي لفظ آخر, رأيت أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه يتوضأ فغسل وجهه ويديه حتى كاد يبلغ المنكبين ثم غسل رجليه حتى رفع إلى الساقين وتحجيله فليفعل. وفي لفظ لمسلم, سمعت خليلي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول تبلغ الحلية من المؤمن حيث يبلغ الوضوء.
So this hadith, it has been narrated by Nu'aym al-Mujmir. And Nu'aym al-Mujmir, he was from the Tabi'een. And if you remember, I mentioned that we had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and everybody who met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam believed in him and died upon that belief, then he is considered to be a Sahabi. And the generation which came afterwards, they were the Tabi'een. The Tabi'een, they didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, they saw the companions alayhim ridwanullah. So they would see them and sit with them and benefit from them and learn from them. And they died upon this iman, and they were called the Tabi'un or the Tabi'een. And then those, the generation which came afterwards, now the third generation, they are called Atba' al-Tabi'een. They are the followers of the Tabi'een, or they are the students of the Tabi'een. And the narrator of this hadith is Nu'aym al-Mujmir. He's Nu'aym ibn Abdullah al-Madani al-Qurashi, and his nickname is al-Mujmir. He's Nu'aym, the son of Abdullah. He's al-Madani, and he's Qurashi, from the tribe of Quraysh. And the name of his father, Abdullah, was al-Mujmir. The meaning of al-Mujmir is, or the reason why it was given to his father, is because his father used to come into the masjid, and his dedication was that he used to beautify the masjid with the smell of bukhur. And for this reason, he was called al-Mujmir. That the person who used to perfume the masjid with bukhur and oud. And Nu'aym, he has also been given this name. Because Nu'aym used to follow in the footsteps of his father, and he became somebody who was known for being dedicated to perfuming the masajid. And imagine how beautiful it is that a person becomes known for this throughout the ummah. So now every single person, look now, 1,430 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith are still being mentioned, Nu'aym al-Mujmir rahimahullah. Nu'aym, the one who used to perfume the masjid, may Allah have mercy upon him. So this is from his fadl. This is from the virtue of this great tabi'i, this great imam. And you'll notice, or you realize, that perfuming the masjid is something which is very small and something which is very minor. It isn't something which costs a lot of money, or that a person has to place a great effort in this. But these are the types of actions which are most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahabba al-a'mali ila Allah ma dawama wa in aqal." That the most beloved actions to the Prophet to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those actions which are consistent, continuous, even if they are a little. Even if it is a little effort and just a little bit of money, but if a person does it constantly and all the time within the ability that he has, then this is the most beloved action to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Nu'aym ibn Abdullah al-Mujmir, the narrator of this hadith, he was Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was the freed slave of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he was from the great Tabi'een. He narrated a hadith, a number of hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Rather, he mentions, جَالَسْتُ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ 20 سَنَةً. I sat
with Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh for 20 years, meaning sitting in the gatherings of knowledge. He studied with Abu Hurairah for over 20 years. He narrated from certain companions, and other people also narrated from Nu'aym al-Mujmir. From amongst those who narrated from him is Al-Imam Malik. Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, he has narrated a hadith in his Muwatta, in his book, upon the authority of Nu'aym al-Mujmir. So he was from the famous Tabi'een, who was an imam and a great scholar. He narrates upon the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And who can remember the name of Abu Hurairah? Tafadhal, Isa.
Abdurrahman ibn
Sakhar. Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar al-Dawsi. And that is the name of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Indeed, my ummah will be called Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, Ghurran Muhajjalin," with two special distinctions. They will be Ghurran and they will be Muhajjalin min athar al-wudu, due to the effects of the ablution. My ummah, I, the Muslims. This is the meaning of my ummah. Ummatul Ijaba, I, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who answered his call. The ummah, when this word ummah is mentioned, it refers to two groups of people. Either ummatul da'wah or ummatul ijabah. Ummatul da'wah is every person who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Muslims or the non-Muslims, all of us are ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because he came to us in order to give us the da'wah, to call us to Allah. So the ummatul da'wah is all of the ummah, all of mankind. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, up until Yawm al-Qiyamah, they are called Ummatul Da'wah. And then the second time, which is more specific, is Ummatul Ijabah. The Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who answered the call. And that is the believers. So when the Prophet said, "Inna Ummati," indeed my Ummah, I Ummatul Ijabah. The Muslims or the Mu'min who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yudu'auna yawm al-qiyamah, they will be called on the day of resurrection. And this will be when the hisab will take place, when the accountability of deeds, good deeds and bad deeds, will take place. The calling that will happen on the day of resurrection, it is two types. Either it is a calling which will be severe, the calling of a sakhat and reprimand, and this is the calling that the kuffar will be called with. Or it will be a calling of at-takreem, calling of being ennobled and honored. And this is the type of calling that will take place here for the Muslims. Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, ghurran muhajjalin. And this ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will have these two distinctions. They will be ghurran and muhajjalin. The meaning of ghurran, or the ghur, it is, in the Arabic language, the whiteness that is seen in the forehead of a horse. If you look at the face of a horse or the forehead of the horse, you'll find that in the middle there is a white patch and then the rest of the color. And this is called ghur. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the believers on the day of resurrection as also having this quality. And it's a metaphor to mean that their faces will be white, with light, enlightened, like the forehead of the horse also has a whiteness in it. That whiteness is called a ghur. And then he said, muhajjalin and at-tahjil. This is the whiteness that the horses have near their hooves. So if you look at the hooves of a horse, at the bottom you'll see white color. And that is called at-tahjil. And this is again an example or metaphor that the Prophet ﷺ is giving, that on the day of resurrection, the faces of the believers will be white, and also their limbs, i.e. their legs and their forearms, their wrists, they will also be white and whitened with light. Why? Min athar al-wudu. Because of the wudu. It will be because of people making wudu, washing their faces, washing their wrists and their forearms, washing their feet and their ankles. Because of this wudu and these effects, then on the day of resurrection, those areas of the body will be shining
and lighten. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those people. And then the hadith carries on. فَمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلِأَفْعَلْ. So whoever amongst you is able to increase his whiteness, then let him do so. And the meaning of this is that if a person is making wudu, and you know that this area is now going to be lightened on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then if you're able to wash more of the limb, then you should do so. So the meaning is, don't only wash your elbow, but even wash more of your upper arm. And don't only wash up to your ankles, but even wash your shin. Why? Because you are increasing the area of whiteness or light. That's the apparent understanding of the hadith. However, the ulama have mentioned that this hadith is a hadith which is mudraj. And the meaning of mudraj is like Al-Bayquni said in his Manzuma, وَالْمُدْرَجَاتُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ مَا أَتَتْ مِنْ بَعْضِ أَلْفَاذِ الرُّوَاتِ اتَّصَلَتْ. That you have a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but in that hadith you have certain words or statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't mention. And that statement is used from the narrator. So we have a hadith, and perhaps half of that hadith is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the second hadith is the statement of the narrator. But when you look at the hadith, it seems as if all of that is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is called the hadith which is mudraj. So in this hadith, the first half is the hadith of the Prophet, the statement of the Prophet. Inna ummati du'auna yawm al-qiyamati ghurran muhajjalina min athar al-wudu. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is his statement. As for what came afterwards, فَمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever amongst you is able to increase his area of whiteness, then let him do so. This is not the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, this is the statement of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And this hadith is called Al-Mudraj. How do we know what part of this hadith is from the Prophet and what part of the hadith is Mudraj, is from the statement of Abu Huraira? By looking at the other narrations. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimullah, the great scholar of a hadith, he mentions that 10 different companions have narrated this hadith. And all of them have narrated the hadith without the wording, فَمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ to the end. In fact, the other narrations from Abu Huraira, not Nu'aym al-Mujmir, the other narrations, they don't mention this wording as well. So this wording, whoever is able to increase his area of whiteness, we know that this isn't from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Had it been from the hadith in itself, then all of the narrations would have mentioned it. But only the narration of Abu Huraira, from the authority of Nu'aym al-Mujmir, only he mentions it. And this hadith, it contains many benefits. Firstly, the fact that this wording is from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, then this shows that to increase the limbs that you are washing, this isn't the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like we took in the previous hadith, he used to wash the hands or the arms up until the elbows, I including the elbows, some more than the elbow. And he used to wash his feet up until and including the ankles. As for washing up to a person's shoulder or the shins, then this isn't from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. However, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to do this. Because Nu'aym, he mentions, رَأَيْتُ أَبَا هُرَيْرَةَ يَتَوَضَّى. In the second narration, I saw Abu Huraira making wudu. فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ. So he washed his face. وَيَدَيْهِ حَتَّى كَادَ يَبْلُغَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ. And he washed his arms up until he reached his shoulders. He was about to reach his shoulders. And he washed his feet, حَتَّى رَفَعَ إِلَى السَّاقِينَ, up until he reached the middle of his shins. However, this was from the actions of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this extra wording is from the wording of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the question therefore arises, that we who come afterwards, should we stop at those limits of the elbow and the ankles and so on and so forth, or should we then imitate Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and wash up all the way to near our shoulders and our shins? And the reply is, Like we always say, that the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the companions who described for us the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to always mention the Prophet stopping at those places. He used to include his elbows, include his ankles and stop there. And the companions themselves, when Uthman radiallahu anhu made wudu and the other companions made wudu, then all of them, they stop in those places. So this action of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, this was his ijtihad. This was his striving. This was his understanding of the hadith. However, because it has gone against that which is more authentic, i.e. the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and the wudu of many of the companions, then the wudu of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, then we don't imitate this action. Rather, we stick to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. And as for the ijtihad, the striving of Abu Huraira, then he's rewarded for it, but it's not for us to imitate. Some of the ulama, they differed, and they said that from the benefits of this hadith is that wudu is an action which is specific to the Muslims only, i.e. the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the umam, the nations who came before him, then they didn't have wudu with them. Why? Because the Prophet said, "Inna ummati yud'un," that my ummah, they are the ones who will be called in this state due to the effects of wudu. And some of the ulama understood from this that wudu was an act of worship specific to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, this isn't correct, because there are certain narrations in which those who came before the Prophet used to always also make wudu. So in Sahih Bukhari, it is narrated regarding Sarah, Zawjat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, the wife of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, أَنَّهَا تَوَضَّأَتْ وَصَلَّتْ, that she made wudu and then she performed the prayer. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, هَذَا وُضُوءِ وَوُضُوءُ الْأَنْبِيَا قَبْلِي, this is my wudu and the wudu of the prophets who came before. So the special distinction for the ummah in this hadith isn't the wudu, rather it is the effects of the wudu. Even though all of the ummah, all of the nations made wudu, however, Allah has favored us, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of resurrection, only our wrists and near our feet and our faces will be enlightened due to the effects of the wudu. So this is where the distinction is. As for at-tayammum, then this is specific to our ummah. The previous nations and the previous messengers, they didn't have at-tayammum. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned those things which he has unique characteristics, he said, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضِ مَسْجِدًا وَطُهُورًا, that the earth, all of it, has been made a place of worship and an avenue of purification, i.e. through at-tayammum. So tayammum is something which is specific to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for wudu, then it came to the anbiya or the nations and the prophets who also came previously. So in this hadith, the general meaning is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the glad tidings to his ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that on the day of resurrection they will come, and due to them making wudu, those areas of their bodies will be enlightened and whitened with light. And I mentioned, as for the action of Abu Huraira, that a person should increase how the limbs that he washes, then this is from the ijtihad or the understanding of Abu Huraira, and not from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. We leave it there for this lesson, and Allah knows best.